The weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity. But understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world.
I'm your host, Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences.
For today, cloudy with periods of rain, the high 72 degrees, east winds.
That was Ed Kieser giving his weather forecast for WILL after 16 years of retirement from our studio. Ed was the chief meteorologist from our station from the 1980s to the 2000s. Longtime listeners of WILL recognize his voice from his daily weather reports and for forecasting Illinois' tornado outbreak in 1996 in Urbana-Champaign. Joining us today is Ed Kieser to talk about his meteorological career, weather lore in Illinois, and his plans for the station in the coming years. We're also joined by Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist for Nutrien Ag Solution, to talk about his connection with Ed and how he got into the business. Thank you both for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Yep, thanks for having us.
So obviously here we're with two famous meteorologists here in Central Illinois. If there were a Meteorology Hall of Fame here in Champaign-Urbana, you two would both be shoo-ins. But Ed, after a 16-year-long break, what brought you back to the station?
Well, I retired from my full-time job, and I was at some point this past fall talking with Andrew and mentioned I was retired, and he said, well, we're looking for some help. And I thought, well, you know, I'm available if you could use some help. And one thing led to another, and now we're where we are, and it's great to be back.
So a question to both of you, how is your team up going to reshape weather reporting here at WILL?
Yeah, well, we're going to be kind of alternating seasonally on who's providing the forecast here in the morning. So that's going to, you know, allow me to take some breaks here, but then give kind of a different, you know, flavor throughout the year here. But then I think the biggest impact is going to be when we have big severe storms that come through Central Illinois, providing that team coverage. You know, Ed's got a ton of experience covering severe weather across Central Illinois. I love being out in the field, kind of reporting on what we're seeing. So I think it'll be a really cool team approach here as we, you know, get back into severe weather season, maybe in 2027. I know we've had a lot of it already here this year.
I know Andrew is an accomplished storm chaser and has done a fantastic job. I'll be doing the more in studio type work. I don't need to go out chasing storms anymore myself. So I'll leave that to Andrew.
So Andrew, you have an interesting history with Ed. How does your connection with him get started and how did it influence your career?
Well, I always like to say Ed was at my first birthday. So, I mean, he was, you know, a close family friend. He and my dad started working at WILL, I think the same year. And so, you know, they became friends and Ed was around a lot. And so I caught this early bug, an interest in the weather. My dad also kind of had an interest. He was a storm spotter locally. So he had that severe weather itch and got, you know, that buzz when there were storms in the area. So there was a lot of external, you know, influence there to where it just kind of felt like part of my life was to be excited when there was going to be thunderstorms. And Ed was big in the, you know, severe weather media, you know, I don't know what to call it, industry, such that he was, you know, putting on tornado seminars for the public and would get a lot of tornado video when this happened, when people were still filming on camcorders and such. So he would get tapes of tornado video and some of that would end up at my house. And instead of watching cartoons every, you know, Saturday morning, I was watching old tornado video. So, you know, getting a bit older, I was able to start working with Ed. I know I remember when I was maybe 15 or 16, it was presented to me that maybe I could be his weather office assistant. And I know Ed said it might not be very exciting. It's just going to be, you know, hanging weather maps on the walls and going through records. And I didn't care. I thought that was fascinating and got to sit in on, you know, some of the severe weather coverage that Ed was doing, you know, back in the 2000s. I vividly remember a night that Springfield was impacted by a tornado that I was there in the office with him into the wee hours of the morning. So, you know, even as a teenager, I was getting a taste of covering severe storms at all hours of the day and the night here in Central Illinois.
So, Ed, one of your most memorable forecasts to many listeners and ones that I'm sure people still send a little bit of chill down their spine took place on April 19th, 1996.
Mother Nature first struck Friday night in Sangamon County near the community of New Berlin. Nearby in Macon County, Decatur residents were still in shock over another tornado that swept through 24 hours earlier. And in Ogden, the violent weather sent residents scrambling for cover.
Ed, can you tell us what happened that day and how the forecast sort of came to bear that particular event?
Well, that event had a few supercells that moved generally west, southwest to east, northeast across central and parts of northern Illinois. And the storm of most interest to our area was one that formed out west of Springfield and moved through the Springfield area and then into Decatur and then eventually Urbana and Ogden. And it was a storm that caused a lot of damage and a F3 tornadoes in Decatur, Urbana, and Ogden. It was not one continuous tornado, but it was all from the same supercell storm. There were a few things that night that helped me help our listeners. One was we had some ground truth. I had some friends out chasing the storms. I would have been chasing storms that day had we not had a WILL TV filming in Southern Illinois for our tornado special of all things, but which ended up being good because I was in the studio and not out in the field that night. But anyway, my friends tracked the tornadoes until they went into Decatur. They kind of went along I-72, and then they decided we're going to head home, and they were north of the supercell thunderstorm. And they got to about Monticello, and they looked out to the south, and they saw a tornado not that far away. And I remember my friend calling me in the radio station and saying, "What the heck is going on out there?" And it was the first night I got to use the Lincoln Doppler radar images, and the scans came in about every 6 minutes. So the next scan came in, I'm like, "Oh wow, there's a new area of rotation right near you." And then I plotted that out a little farther. I'm like, "That's headed right for Champaign-Urbana." So I remember going on the air saying, "We have a new area of rotation. There's no warning issued yet, but if you're in Champaign-Urbana, I would start to prepare to take cover because this new tornado, if it holds together, will be coming right into the Twin Cities, Champaign-Urbana." And sure enough, it kind of touched down and lifted. It wasn't a continuous path, but I think the storm went right over about the Savoy 16 Theater. And if it had been on the ground at that point, that could have been a big problem because it was a Friday evening. But of course, it touched down in Urbana near Yankee Ridge Subdivision, caused a lot of damage in the Eagle Ridge Subdivision, as I recall. Tornado lifted, but then touched down again and devastated Ogden then. And then right at the end of that tornado, as it exited Ogden and crossed I-74, there was one fatality there.
So, Andrew, were you listening to this or watching this particular storm?
Oh, yeah. This was a pivotal day in my, you know, early weather career, if we want to say that, as I was, definitely an elementary aged kid at this time. But I was already fascinated by the weather, a big severe weather nerd. I'm sure that, you know, through Ed's forecasts and relayed information from my dad, I knew it was a high end day and a high risk severe weather day. So I remember sitting, I lived close to a schoolyard in Urbana, and I remember sitting out there kind of just waiting for storms to roll in. Of course, they came in later in the day, so I was back home having dinner, watching the coverage on TV and listening to Ed, and kind of remember that same experience where, you know, the vibe in the house was, well, the worst part of it's going to go south of town, this storm we've been watching all day, you know, going down Interstate 72. Until the vibe changed. And, you know, I was sent down to the basement, which I wasn't happy about. My dad was looking out the back door doing his storm spotter thing. But I remember him, you know, not seeing anything. And then all of a sudden he exclaimed that he could see a funnel cloud. And so I ran right back up the stairs and joined him on the back porch. And, you know, we watched the Urbana tornado go by off the back porch, kind of just, it would have been maybe a mile or so as the crow flies, which, you know, as I've gotten older now, I realize how close that is, you know, to having a really bad situation at home. I also really vividly remember after that, watching out the back door, the back porch, which faced east toward Ogden, and I could see the supercell continuing off to the east, you know, probably impacting Ogden at that time. And there was clear air behind that. And I could just see the updraft of this supercell. And I'd never seen lightning so vivid. It was just a constant, you know, strobing of lightning. And that kind of stuck in my head. So, you know, if there was any question what my career path was going to be before that, that night kind of solidified it. And, you know, I always kind of look back on that day as a really scary reminder of what can happen in this area.
So if you're just joining us, this is Weather Realness, the podcast about weather and climate from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the U of I. Today, we're talking with weather legends Ed Kieser, returning longtime meteorologist at WILL, and Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist at Nutrien Ag Solutions. So now that you're back, of course, obviously you're coming back here with now 3 years in a row of almost record or record-setting tornado numbers. Are things different now than you think in your first stint? What do you think about that?
Well, I do see the numbers of tornadoes certainly increasing over Illinois and neighboring states. It does appear, we'll see over time whether it continues, but it does appear that Tornado Alley has shifted eastward a little bit. I noticed this year and in past years, Illinois has been far ahead of, say, Oklahoma in the number of tornadoes, which is just amazing to me. That's not the way it used to be. And Illinois is far ahead of Texas this year. Texas is usually the state that leads in number of tornadoes, not only because of its location, but its size. So it's extraordinary, the number of tornadoes. So since 2023, so 3.5 years now, Illinois leads the nation in the number of tornadoes and by a wide margin.
So we've had a number of close calls here, including this year. We had a weaker tornado kind of track north of I-74. Was 1996 the worst strike that the city's ever faced?
I think it's the worst strike in modern history, but I mean, if you expand this to Champaign County, there are some significant tornadoes that have impacted, you know, some of the communities here, and Ed can expand on that. But Champaign County is certainly no stranger to some of these really significant tornadoes. And Ogden, you know, you can talk to folks there, and they've got multiple battle stories for folks who have lived there for several decades.
Yeah, piggybacking on that, probably the largest tornado of memory in Champaign County was the Sedoris tornado of 1976. And that moved across the southern part of the county into, I would say, the east central part. And that one hit Ogden in 1976. So Ogden took a hard hit in 76 and then 20 years later in 96. So I'd say Ogden is the unlucky place when it comes to tornadoes in Champaign County.
And there was another one that was around 2004, 2005, I think, that went through southeast Urbana, just clipped the very edge of that area that we now have the golf course, and headed up into Ogden as well, I think.
Well, and we've had numerous hits from, you know, tornadoes of the weaker variety, EF0, EF1, which can still cause plenty of damage. And some of these are embedded within, you know, linear storm complexes and not even your classic supercell, you know. So we've had significant tornadoes, you know, over the decades, but it's very common for us to have at least these, you know, EF0 or EF1 tornadoes coming through the county. But also we've had, you know, one of these go through parts of southeast Urbana, very close to the 96 path, just 4 or 5 years ago. Another one in south part of Champaign. I get the years mixed up here, but all within the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so Ed, you talked a little bit about some of the tools you had in 1996, but you went through college, you know, in the 80s and 90s before we had cell phones, smartphones, social media. What did weather forecasting look like for you as you started your career here? And what tools did you have to talk about severe weather before we even had Doppler radar?
Well, it was much cruder when I started. Yeah, my college days were in the 80s. And really, when I came to the University of Illinois in 1987, things were not much different. It was paper maps that were printed on a facsimile machine, which had these large rolls of chemically treated paper, and the images would be burned into the paper. Then you'd hang the maps on the walls. They were slow to print. There were not very many maps compared to what we can get nowadays. And when I started at WILL, I would get up super early, go over to the Atmospheric Sciences Building, which when I started was in the old Vet Med Building on campus. And so I would look at the maps and jot down notes and then go to the station and make my forecast. And then midday, I would go back over to the Atmospheric Sciences Building to look at the new model output that came in and update my forecast. In terms of severe weather coverage, just images of conventional radar, not the Doppler, so there were no indications of rotation and winds in the storm. You could just see the what we call reflectivity, where the precipitation was falling. Hook echoes on a radar, supercell structures you could see, but that was about it. Yeah, it was crude back then, and the warnings would come out slower too. We'd have a teletype machine going, typing out like that, you know, just and you get the warnings and you convey the warnings out on the air and then try to correlate that with whatever radar images we had to paint the picture. But it was certainly much cruder back when I started than it is today. Now we have, I always like to tell people, when I started my career, I was looking for all the possible data I could get. And now there's so much data, I have to decide what to look at. That's how it's changed.
If you're just joining us, this is Weather Realness, the podcast about weather and climate from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the U of I. Today we're talking with two local celebrities in meteorology, Ed Kieser, returning longtime meteorologist at WILL, and Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist at Nutrient Ag Solutions. So Ed, what got you into meteorology, and why broadcast meteorology?
One day as a kid, 9, almost 10 years old, just started tracking the weather. Just one day the bug caught me. It was not a specific storm or anything like some people talk about. I was always interested in geography, and I remember as a little kid, I had this puzzle map of the U.S., but it was just the U.S., and I remember seeing on TV maps, they were weather maps, and it had Mexico and Canada, and my map just had the U.S. I thought, well, my map's a little off, and I remember one time on with pencil drawing on my wooden puzzle, and I think I was drawing fronts from the TV. I'm not entirely sure, but I was just before I turned 10, I just got the weather bug and I started tracking the weather every day. And back in those days, the only way you could get weather is watching a TV weathercast. And I knew which time each station, all three stations we had, I knew which time, so I'd flip the channel to try and I'd jot down all this information, and then I would gather it all and I'd draw up my own maps, and then I'd start presenting weather reports to my parents. And that's how it all started.
So looking back, what are you most proud of in your career?
I'm most proud of two tornado events. My coverage in 1996, I think I'm most proud of. We have no recordings of it whatsoever. So there's all we can do is have people talk about the coverage, but I am proud of the coverage that night. And because I had been doing the weather for a long time, people got to know me. And a lot of people said that night, my voice changed. They said that the urgency in my voice was different than it was at all other times and even other storms. And that's good. That was a good thing, because I think a lot of people thought, this is the real deal. We really better take cover. And several people from Urbana said, we went to our basement, we went to our bathtub, and you know, that's good. So I'd say that's my number one event. The other one goes back to college in 1985. There was a major tornado outbreak in Pennsylvania, and there's a group at Penn State called the Campus Weather Service, and we had several radio stations that we served from north central Pennsylvania to south central all the state, but all the way from the New York border to the Maryland border. And some of the storms that moved into northern Pennsylvania had F4 tornadoes. And in one particular case, I was on the air on a station in Kane, Pennsylvania. It was a daytime only AM station. They signed off at 8:15. And right before that, I went on the air to say a storm is coming your way. It's had a history of producing tornadoes. Take cover immediately. This is the real thing. And they went off the air at 8:15, and at 8:17, all the clocks stopped in town as an F4 tornado went right through. So that's, I'd say, my other proud moment. So both of them are tornado related.
And Andrew, what have you learned from Ed over the years?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. It's just, you know, embodying a trusted figure in the community, you know, not trying to, you know, be a showy or flashy or dramatic, you know, saving that change in the voice, you know, for when it really mattered. And, you know, I still feel early in my career, but I've heard that same kind of thing from folks in the community. Just they appreciate the calm nature of the severe weather coverage that we provide here at WILL, and how it's just kind of focused on relaying, you know, what's going on and who needs to be taking cover and you know, worried about what's coming next. So it's just, I don't know, I had a great example, I think, in front of me from an early age of how to conduct yourself as a meteorologist who's trying to relay weather information. And so that was always what I just wanted to do in my career, was I want to be able to help people make decisions based on weather impacts. And, you know, years later, I find myself in that exact position. So truly living out, you know, my childhood dream, and now very excited to be doing it with someone who taught me a lot of what I know, you know, today.
Well, you both will have an opportunity to maybe attract new aspiring meteorologists to the field, and look forward to hearing your work over the next few years. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Absolutely.
My pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
We've been talking with Ed Kieser, returning meteorologist for Illinois Public Media, and Andrew Pritchard, meteorologist for Nutrien Ag Solutions. I'm Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thanks for joining us on Weather Realness. Do you have a weather or climate question you'd like us to tackle? Leave us a voicemail at 217-333-2141 or email weatherrealness@illinois.edu.
Weather Realness is produced by Trent Ford, Jeff Frame, Deanna Hentz, Steven Nesbitt, Stephanie Orellana, Eddie Wolf, and me, Joseph Trujillo Falcon. Production is partially funded by the Backland Charitable Trust. This podcast is a partnership between the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences and Illinois Public Media, a service of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thank you for listening.